Blog Talk Radio.
It's Blog Talk Radio, and this is Dev calling in from Houston, Texas, on a, I'd say, bright night, but it's kind of dark out there tonight and a little chilly. And we've got AK on the line. How are you, AK?
Good. I have to say that was a little anticlimactic without our music. I didn't have anything to bop around to.
I know. So let's explain why there's no music playing yet. We have new commercials.
So we have our friend Skylar Fox put together some new commercials for us that we're going to test drive with everybody right now because we have two versions and we need some feedback. So I guess we're going to play both of them. We'll have A and B. And then if you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/socialgeekradio and let us know which one you like better, then you'll help us pick.
Right. So let's go ahead and let's see now. This is the first time we've loaded it and first time we've played it. So that's just my disclaimer. I'm going to hit play and we'll see what happens. So here's commercial number one.
Are you looking to take your social technology strategies to the next level? Then do we have a show for you. Social Geek Radio co-hosts AK Stout and Deb Evans chat weekly with innovative technology folks who share their experiences, tips, and tricks to help you take your business to the next level. Social Geek Radio is brought to you by Saying It Social and Deb Evans Consulting, LLC. To learn more about their unique services, including but not limited to speaking, consulting, and training, visit AK Stout and DebEvansConsulting.com.
So, do you think it's a little loud, AK?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. So, because we loaded it. So, all right. So, that's commercial number one. And at this time, it does fade out very nicely. And we'll go ahead and let's hit commercial number two.
Are you looking to take your social technology strategies to the next level? Then do we have a show for you. Social Geek Radio co-hosts AK Stout and Deb Evans chat weekly with innovative technology folks who share their experiences, tips, and tricks to help you take your business to the next level. Social Geek Radio is brought to you by Saying It Social and Deb Evans Consulting, LLC. To learn more about their unique services, including but not limited to speaking, consulting, and training, visit AK Stout and DebEvansConsulting.com.
All right, so we'll have to see what everybody thinks about that.
Yes, so go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/socialgeekradio, and let us know if you like number one or number two. And if we pick the one that you pick, then we'll send you a koozie.
That's right. So our guest has been very patient waiting while we play our commercials. Why don't you go ahead and introduce him and we'll let him out. And let's see, we'll let him be the first voter for commercial one or commercial two.
All right. Okay, well, our guest tonight is Sterling McKinley, and he has two companies, which I will let him tell you all about. And actually, I mean, I had met Sterling in person before. He lives local to me. But Sterling, I guess I'll let you tell everybody, because I'm not sure I even asked you when we first met.
Okay.
Right. How you found me. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So how did you first find me? We went and I remember we met at the
I found you via the social web. So, you know, I'm a big LinkedIn guy. So probably about, I first saw you on LinkedIn maybe about 2 years ago.
Oh.
I said, okay, this AK Stout, she looks like she knows what she's doing. See some of your posts. Kind of stalkerish. I was kind of following you for the last couple of years. And, you know, one day I said, hey, sent you an email, let's meet. And ever since then, we've been kind of going back and forth. So I guess you're a social geek, and I'm kind of a mobile geek. So it's a good matchup.
That works. welcome on our show.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, geeks are pretty cool now, so it's not a bad thing anymore.
So, Sterling, tell us about your background, what you do, and your companies, and then how you help other companies.
Yeah, well, my background, let's see, you know, I have a love, you know, and a passion for marketing in general, so, you know, I really combine that with kind of online marketing, you know, back when I was in college. I started a company called McKinley Media, and, you know, it was kind of basic, you know, in general online marketing, so companies with a website, social media, now mobile marketing, video, and really anything to find more clients online. And, you know, I think what really makes my company different is it's not just about a website, because don't tell anybody, but anybody can design a website. But, you know, I found through the years that there are actually very few people in companies that focus on making sites work. So translating those visitors into sales, into phone calls, and purchases. So that's kind of what I do for my clients. So kind of fast forward, beginning of this year, I started another company called Apps for Business, and that's just mobile marketing. And it's kind of funny the way I got started. You know, I was talking to my clients, you know, the past couple of years, and they were always asking about, you know, apps and mobile websites and this and that. And I was like, yeah, you know, that's not really what I do, but, you know, wait around. So finally this year in January, I started that company, and the results and the response has been great. Mobile is a really hot topic now, and, you know, thanks to Apple and iPad and iPhone, everybody's hearing about it and talking about it. So, you know, a lot of times I'm the first person to really come to a client's office and show them how mobile really works and how their clients are using it. So it's been a really good response so far.
That's awesome.
I said a lot, so.
Every time I hear somebody say that, people are like, oh, I want apps, Steph. All I can think about is you when you were at Computer Explorers and all you wanted was an app.
I want an app. I still want an app. And I'm with you about the smartphones and iPads and mobile being thing. I just drove back from Austin, and my radio is not working. I had to replace a battery in my car, and when you do that in my type of car, you have to put this special code in. So I get in the car, and I'm ready to do the 3-hour drive. I'm going, oh, no radio. No, that can't be. I can't do this. So iPad sitting on the seat beside me is like, oh, I'll just use my app on my iPad, and I'll just play my music all the way there, 3 hours up and 3 hours back. It's like, thank you very much, technology.
You really hit on the point, you know, like even today, you know, mobile is that go-to thing. Today I was out doing some shopping. I went to find Target. Where's Target at? Oh, pull my phone out. You know, I've been Target and got GPS directions right to a location. So, I mean, that's why mobile is so great. It's a natural fit. It's not something that's pushed or forced. It just really fits in really well to, you know, everybody's everyday life.
Very cool. I will get a little bit. Oh, go ahead,
Jen. No, I was going to say I have a question. You know, okay, you titled the show, and I know the three of us know what it stands for, but why don't we explain what this so-mo-lo, whatever stands for, and let everybody know what we're actually, you know, talking about.
You want me to explain it?
You're the expert for us tonight.
Okay, just for tonight. So, it stands for social, mobile, and local. So, to kind of explain the first part, you know, so the thing I love about social media is I have a new guest calling in. Going back to social, social is a big thing now. You know, Facebook, you know, Twitter, Foursquare. All these different, technologies that really connect people. So that's one part. The next part is mobile. So, you know, what I tell a lot of my clients is social is mobile, and that, you know, people aren't sitting at home say, hey, I'm going to take 20 minutes and get on Facebook or get on Twitter. You know, it's a part of their everyday life. You know, when they're at work, when they're shopping, when they're waiting for their kids to get out of practice. So that's where kind of the mobile part comes in. And then local. You know, people really search for things, you know, products and services that are in their area, whether it's a lawyer, whether it's a doctor, a restaurant. So, you know, together, social, mobile, local really are a really strong combination. So that's kind of my little summary of what that means.
That's a good one. And you really see it a lot now. I mean, at conferences and discussions. But I think I remember when I first saw it, which doesn't seem like it was that long ago, maybe 6 months, a year ago, even I was looking at it going, what? What is that? Oh, yeah, I get it. I can figure that out. But I often have people ask me, it's like, what are you talking about? Is that a new lingo?
Right.
All right. I don't know if it's safe to be off of mute, but I'm going to try it for a minute. I think we have an intruder that's going to hack me in the middle of social looking radio. But anyway.
Let him in.
So, Sterling, one of the reasons why I love running into at conferences and everything is because I think we have very similar approaches to the social world and working with clients. So explain to everybody a little bit what your approach is to social media when you're working with your clients?
Yeah, my approach is a little different. I think a lot of companies, big and small, even a lot of big brands, I won't say any names, get caught up in a numbers race. Who has the most followers? Who has the most fans? And, it's really kind of the wrong way to go about it. A lot of companies just really do that. It's just easy thing to do. And, hey, if I have a million followers, that means something. And it really means nothing. So, what I stress to my clients is really, having quality followers versus over quantity. So that's my approach, first off. And second, I would say, too, having, quality content, not just sending out random blog posts and articles or a picture of your cat or your dog, but, things that your base is really interested in. And I guess the last approach I would say is, telling everything you do to your ambassadors and going back to, not being a numbers game, you really want to focus on, your people that are really crazy about your brand, your product, your people that are going to get online and blog or going to retweet or going to tell friends about it. So I think those three things are kind of a lot of times overlooked because, one, it takes longer to do that stuff. But I think the brands that do it well, the results are, pretty substantial.
I totally agree with you, especially now when you have things like Facebook algorithm that are chopping down the amount of stuff that we push out. It's better to have a few more quality interactions than it is to try to be reaching the masses.
Yeah, and I would say, too, going back to quality, I hear people say, social media and computers are taking our lives over and they're destroying communication, and that couldn't be any farther from the truth. They're really enhancing it. they're really enhancing it and, really facilitating relationships. So the reason, too, I say it's not about a numbers game because, when you make friends, it's a real interaction. And, do you want 1,000 friends or do you want 75 really good friends that care about you? So they care about your brand and your product. So, I really couldn't stress that enough. It's online, but it still has that personal touch to it. And, people are really turned off to that mass appeal, that mass message. They want things that are localized, that are really personalized, to their needs and wants.
I agree. And AK and I both can, I'm sure, will agree that your friends online are just as real as your friends that you see every day. I have so many online friends that they're, and I use the word sincerely. They're my friends. And sometimes I'll say, that's my Twitter friend. That's my Facebook friend. that's my real friend. And AK loves her online friends.
That's right. I haven't said it in a really long time. And see, a lot of my online friends have become my in-person friends. So it's not really a fair anymore. But
that's
I used
true.
To say that I like my online friends better than my offline friends. Sorry, offline friends. But see, now it's melding, so it's all good.
Right.
That's true. Well, that's true. Because your offline friends are still offline. But I have met now some of AK's online friends in person, and it's a different I think they're different people with different personalities, that
I'll say too, at least for me in the business standpoint, they're really good connections that I wouldn't have made any other way. especially on LinkedIn. I found AK on LinkedIn. We happen to live in the same area we met, and, you know, now I'm on the show. But, you know, there's people across the country and in California and Colorado, across the world that I would never have met. But we do the same thing, you know, in a sense. I see them on Twitter or see them on LinkedIn. They follow me. I follow them. And, you know, so you never know. So it's, you know, going back to, you know, I guess being local, you know, it really makes you international, you know, be able to connect with somebody on anywhere in the world, anytime.
And it's done, wouldn't you say that the whole social aspect of it has really enhanced businesses and grown? But I mean, you grow your network because of your new network online. What does that do for, we know what it can do for consumers. What does it do for business owners?
I think it's great. I mean, I think a lot of business owners don't see the value in it because, you know, it does take time to do it. I said, just in real life, it takes time to foster, you know, relationships in life, like online. So, you know, my personal story, it's been wonderful. One, LinkedIn, being able to connect people that are like-minded in my industry. Also, Twitter. I'm a big Twitter guy. That direct connection to anybody in the world has been amazing. So I think for a business owner, for networking, for colleagues, it's great. And, you know, I even have a few business partners that I found, you know, a service that a client wanted that I really don't offer. Gone on Twitter, done the research, gone on LinkedIn, and done it that way. So, you know, for a business owner, a lot of business, you know, can be exchanged through networks as well. And that's how I find a lot of companies that way.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I think like kind of like Deb was saying, that's what is making a lot of businesses even better this day, finding people to collaborate with and not being sort of nailed down to your specific geographic location. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about social sort of melding with mobile? Do you think more people are now accessing mobile on their devices or still sort of hanging out at the computer? Where are we trending in that way?
Right. I don't have any hard data, but I would say definitely moving more towards, you know, tablets and in their phones because, like I said, it's a natural fit. You know, you don't sit down and say, okay, 20 minutes a day for Twitter or Facebook. You know, social media is really a disruptive technology, so you do it in those gaps in your day, whether that's, you know, waiting for somebody at work, in the line, in the car, not supposed to, but people still do it. So I think inherently, you know, social, it is mobile. I don't think it was started out that way or supposed to be that way, but it's a natural progression. And I think especially when you start to tie in location-based services like Foursquare and some others like that, that it's just a natural fit. People are on the move, you know, more than ever, you know, in the history of the world. And, you know, so social has to go with that. And on that point, that's why I tell my clients, I say, you know, your customers are mobile. Are you? And it's really, you know, a simple question, but that's where people are going. So I think, you know, as brands, business owners, you have to be in that social space, in that mobile space to really want to stay relevant and also keep up with your customers.
Mm-hmm.
For a business to go mobile, what would you say would be the first step? To have a mobile
call
app
me.
For them?
To call
me. After they call you.
Yeah.
How would they like to have an app or to make their website mobile?
Yeah, well, a great question. Like I said, I get a lot of people say, I want an app. And, you know, I blame Apple for that because the commercials, there's an app for that, there's an app for that. Yes, there is an app for that, but are you going to really use it? So, you know, I first started off my clients talking about, one, the cost of an app can be really high. And, you know, secondly, hey, you're a pizza shop. Is somebody really going to download your app just to order pizza? Probably not. In my opinion, most of the most successful apps are really utilities, Facebook, Twitter, GPS directions, things like that. So initially, I try to steer my clients kind of away from apps. And I really think it's more of a walk, crawl, run approach. So first, like you said, your website. Make sure you have a good website. Next, you want to get a mobile site. And a mobile site, just your website condensed, you know, down to a friendly version where people can, you know, find basic services about your company, locations, phone number, and services. And then, you know, once you have a mobile site for a while, if it makes sense, if you have some traction, people are asking for it, then I would say invest the time and develop an app.
Mm-hmm. I know. I think it's like an attractive thing to be like, oh, we have an app for our business. And then you go to their website and you have to like do like the inverted pinch and scroll and like see all corners of the website. And you're like, no, you need a mobile site first.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So in your opinion, whether it's in the mobile space or the social media space, what kind of companies have you seen doing social media very well?
I talk about industry. I think automotive, I think they kind of get it. Dealerships using QR codes on their cars. And other day I went to CarMax. They have a great mobile website. I was really surprised. Just as powerful and flexible and fast as their desktop website. So auto industry, I would say two of those more young, you know, kind of hit brands, Target, they do a good job. Retailers, also I would say restaurants do a good job with being mobile, social as well. And what else? I would say too, fashion and retail. A lot of the big fashion brands seem to have, you know, invested time in mobile and social. And the last one I would say is banking. Bank for America, some of the other big banks really have really nice mobile applications. And kind of going back to what I was saying about having an app, you know, they have apps where you can, you know, pretty much do everything from your bank from an app. So I think those are some industries that really, really get it and really see where it's going.
Yeah, I love my bank app where I can, like, scan, take a picture of the check and it deposits in the account. I don't even have to go to the bank.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, very cool. And I think, I think some businesses sort of lend themselves better to social. So it's a little bit easier for them because people are going to the web specifically for a lot of these things to look up consumer reviews and stuff. So I think, you know, it's important for businesses who fall outside of these industries, you know, not get to get discouraged, but just realize that they might have to work a little bit harder to figure out, you know, where their conversations are happening that they could jump into and exactly what they need to do to also be as successful in this space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you hit it on the head. I mean, those are some of my top industries, but, I mean, every business and every service category, you know, could be using this, you know, more and better. So, you know, sky's really the limit. And it's funny, I was actually talking yesterday to a group of young entrepreneurs, and, you know, I was telling them that this is only the start of social and mobile. You know, people think that we're kind of halfway or we're almost at the, you know, the pinnacle, but this is only the start. So another year or two, 3 years, who knows what's going to be out there as far as a new social network. And, you know, I was saying that same topic. I think the next few years are going to be really, really interesting because a lot of companies now were built, let's say, brick and mortar and analog, and then they were forced to go digital social. But the new companies coming out now are going to be social and mobile right off the bat. And I think those companies are going to learn from some of the mistakes of some of the companies now. So I think the next couple of years are going to be really, really exciting as far as new technologies. And I think even more, there will be better applications where, you know, mobile and social are really tied more into our life.
Yeah, I think
that's a really good point.
Everything will just happen for us eventually.
I'll just
look at my phone and it will know where I want to shop and where the deals are, and then it will drive me there, and then I get all the deals handed to me, and, you know. Well, actually,
exactly.
I read an article, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, that was calling it social merchandising was going to be the next wave and the trend for 2013.
Right.
So I thought that was a sort of an interesting, I don't know, a phrase that now the industry is going to pick up to use, talking about that going forward. And they were talking about, you know, how Pinterest and even now Facebook collections and Instagram and everything. It's just, basically, if you have merchandise to sell, you know, social is where you need to be making the sales at this point.
Right.
Absolutely. And I had in the group I was working with yesterday, Office Furniture USA, a few of them were picking up on just that and start talking amongst themselves about Pinterest and how to start taking, you know, these really great shots of their furnitures, their desktops, their, you know, their chairs, and putting it on Pinterest. And there was one young lady in the audience that said, "I'm doing that," and she was giving statistics about how it was driving traffic to her website and her online shopping. So it's, they just need to know how to use it.
Right.
We're talking about the Starbucks app in our chat room.
In the chat
room. In our Social Geek Radio chat room. And one of our listeners, Sarah, was saying how their mobile app is tracking and all that kind of stuff. And I use their app too. And we were saying, but we still keep going. Because
mm-hmm.
That's probably why they don't fix it, because they know we're still going to come for the coffee.
Yeah, that's a good point too. I would go saying back to having an app that, you know, apps aren't for the casual user. You know, they're for those brand ambassadors, people that are just in love with Starbucks or in love with Target. So those are the people more likely that are going to download, you know, your app, not the casual user. So just something to keep in mind.
Good point. They need to cater to us to keep us in love with them.
They need to feed our addiction of mobile, you know, like feed it. We need more apps. You know, what's next? What's next? What's next in technology?
And the more caffeine you give me, the more I need an app.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what you said, too, is really great, because that's another cool thing about social media. You know, whereas before in marketing, there was all these big, elaborate studies done, but now you can hear really directly from your consumer base if it flies or not. So if Starbucks really wanted, they could put a poll up on Facebook or Twitter tonight, get instant feedback on our app and what needs to be done to change it and make it better.
Yeah, I'm going to tweet them right now from all of the accounts that I'm tweeting Social Geek Radio from.
And
they will hear from us.
You know what, AK? We've had many guests because you've learned about them and you've tweeted about them. So you go ahead. You pull somebody from Starbucks to our show.
Oh,
so Sterling,
yeah.
Go ahead. I'll challenge you. Let me ask you this, Sterling. You know, what kind of content do you really think the on-the-go consumers, you know, what do they want to see? AK and I know what we want to see, but, you know, in your opinion, what kind of content should they want?
Well, I think it depends on the brand and the company, but of course, one thing, people want deals, they want offers, you know. So it'd be great if you send out a QR code or a coupon to get, you know, half off your latte. So people really, you know, want offers, kind of reason to come back. You know, and then too, I guess they also want creative, funny content. So the craziest things can go viral. So I think really looking for deals, looking for something that's, you know, on topic but off topic, but at the same time entertaining. And then once again, I would say as far as content, they're looking for a real response. I'm almost amazed by all the brands, the really, really big brands that you go to their Facebook page or Twitter page, and there's a list of questions that are unanswered.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, going back to the old marketing principle, content is really king, and social media is about interaction. So a lot of brands fail at that interaction. That's really the main thing. So that question, they want to answer to it, you know, now. You know, they don't want to call customer service. They don't want to go on the website. They don't want to check FAQ page. They're going to get on Twitter. They're going to get on Facebook, and they might bash you. But that's still a chance to, you know, answer their question and, you know, solve their problem.
I feel like I'm in, like, a social media sermon. I just want to yell, like, "Preach it, brother," and hallelujah. I wish everybody would listen to this show, because that is so important.
that's all right. We'll just keep repeating our message over and over again. So, you know, the statistics say you have to, someone has to see it 7 times before it resonates. So it's like, all right, we'll say it 17 times and they'll get it. That's okay.
Well, so for more in the mobile space, talk to us a little bit about location-based services. What businesses might need to get started in that area?
Yeah, I'll say one, retail. People that are trying, you know, to find your cafe, your shop. Even I'll say doctors and lawyers. I deal with a lot of lawyers now, and I'm telling that people want to be able to find your office location, you know, right away. So location-based, I mean, it can be something like Foursquare or just a direction to your office. People really, you know, want to find things that are local. I would say two location-based will be restaurants. People love to check in at their favorite spot and become a mayor or win a badge or be an ambassador. So location-based is really big. I mean, that's what it's, you know, really all about, finding things that are in your local area that you, you know, go to. And yeah, I think for brands, too, that's another way to kind of stay on the radar without being in your customer's face constantly. Being on those networks and also using GPS data to target more of your customers.
Awesome.
You know, AK loves the app that helps her decide what to eat sometimes.
Right.
I really like any app that will help me decide to do anything. As long as I'm really compulsive about it. Like, before I go out to eat or I go to a store, I check Yelp, and then I pull up the thing on Foursquare, and I look at the Foursquare reviews, and then, you know, I go to their Facebook and their Twitter, and I see if they have any coupons and discounts. And it probably takes me an extra half hour to go any place I want to go to because I'm looking for information.
Yeah.
But the information is out there now.
Yeah, you brought up a really good point, and it reminds me of a client that I'm talking with now that will go unnamed until they sign a contract. But this client, they're actually located in the Baltimore area, and they really want to promote shopping local. And that's a really big thing now. A lot of cities and states are really saying, hey, let's keep things, you know, in-state or in your local area. So, you know, location-based services are great for that. So we're talking about designing an app that would be pretty simple, that would have a list of categories. So we would have one for fashion, one for retail, one for food. You could click on that. It would tie into GPS data in your area, and it would show you those categories that are around your area. You could go to them, GPS directions, phone number, very, very simple, but something that's not being done now. You know, and then, two, we were also talking about breaking it up by neighborhood. So let's say downtown, let's say midtown. So really tying in local companies and helping people really find you. Because I would say, too, I discover new places every week and say, oh, I didn't know that I was there. But a lot of these new services are really helping people discover these really, you know, niche, you know, non-chain type stores that otherwise you wouldn't find other than something like social media or Facebook.
It's all about being found now. If you're not there, you don't exist, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my 2 cents for what it's worth.
Well, it's true. I mean, how often do we talk about people about building their digital footprint? And they say, why? And it's like, why not? And, you know, the whole conversation is, you know, people Google or they Bing or they do Yahoo and they're searching.
Right.
And if you're not out there, how are they going to find you? And it's more than foot traffic. And, you know, you've got your consumers that will come into your location because that's what they do and they're local. And then you have some who are going to purchase from you and find you because they found you on the web.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you said it. I mean, you have to be there. And, you know, mobile and social is really becoming the kind of the go-to marketing. You know, and to be kind of, you know, funny sometimes when I go to a client, I give them my laptop and say, okay, find your business online. You know, without typing in the name of your company. And a lot of times they don't come up. They really can't be found. So it's really a must. And I would say, too, a lot of People that I talk to, they've been burned before by TV or radio or other things that are, you know, are really mass and cost a lot of money. But, you know, I always tell people that, you know, the cost of entry to get into mobile social is really affordable. And, you know, it's really trackable and it's really a great return on investment. So, you know, don't let, you know, past experiences of marketing damper your, I guess, you know, excitement for mobile and social, because it's a different medium and it's all those things in one. And, you know, not to go on too much, like I said, I'm a mobile geek, but your smartphone is amazing. It's everything. It's a calendar. It's your search. It's directions. It has your recipes, pictures, video. It goes on and on. You know, so companies, brands have to be there. It's not even an option anymore. I mean, if you're not, you know, on social mobile now, your company is on a downward spiral. You don't even know it.
I agree. It's your wallet, as you said earlier, you know, when you do banking.
Exactly.
You bank with your phone. My son does that banking. We're not using it yet, but I saw him with half a check. He's like, okay, I got to deposit this. Hold on 1 minute. Take the picture. Right. Have it deposited. So we do have a question here in the chat. Yeah. And the question is, as a small business owner, I'm not a location-based, starting out in business in social media, where should I focus my attention to start generating online leads?
Right. Great question. And I would say it really depends on your brand and what you're doing. So I always tell companies that, you know, it's not a one-size-fits-all model. You really have to do some research and, you know, look at some of your competitors and find out for your industry or for your service, what are the top networks for your company. So if Facebook is not your top network, you know, don't spend too much time. If that's Pinterest and Twitter, spend time there. So I think the first basic step is really finding out where your people are at. What sites are they really on, and what content they want? That's the first step of really getting more leads from that. And like I always say, you know, social media and mobile, it's a conversation starter. So, you know, you're starting that sales process, and you have to definitely nurture that with information, because, you know, I would say that, quote unquote, the greasy kind of salesman is kind of dying out. The new sales is information. So if you provide your base with information that they want and like about your product, it's a no-brainer. You know, you really make it easy for your consumers to buy from you.
Well, and this particular listener is a loyal listener, and I know that he has I guess I would describe it as promotional business, where he made our Social Geek Radio koozies for us, logo T-shirts, you know,
right.
Logo USB drives, things like that. So
yeah.
I'm going to throw out there, I would think that Mango Tree Brands really would have a great presence on Pinterest. AK, what do you think?
Yeah, pictures. Yeah, very visual.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Pinterest and Instagram. And
I was going to say Instagram would be my second choice, because Instagram we find is searchable and seems to be the newest trend as far as doing searches and finding brands and finding products. But I would think between Pinterest and Instagram, Dana, you should be able to get lots and lots of leads from that.
Right. And I would say, too, the kind of the forgotten kind of stepchild of social media, Facebook, YouTube. People want to see, you know, demonstrations and products and service. So, you know, if you can make a video explaining, you know, in a minute or two what you do, show some of your product and service, that's really powerful, because a lot of companies are not using video. So if you can put a video together, doesn't have to be a Hollywood production, but, you know, it shows you, goes a long way. Because, you know, one thing I'll say, too, about online, whether it's social media, your website, whatever, that it's about trust. When you're online, you don't really know who you're buying from. So being social, being open, having pictures, having videos, having mobile sites, all those things build trust. So once you really build trust, you know, with your client, they're more, you know, apt to do business with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I agree with the video. I was telling somebody yesterday, it's like, you know, you sell wonderful office chairs. Tell me about it. Somebody with really, really great descriptions about this chair and how passionate and how, you know, I sit for 8 hours and the chair would breathe and blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, now do what you just did and put it on a video. Oh,
exactly,
no. It's like, okay, if you can't do it, then sell me the chair and I'll do it because – a video and that spoken word and seeing somebody how excited they are about a silly thing like a chair, but it's really cool. I mean, it's important. I sit on my butt 8 hours a day. It's a good chair.
Even from a more serious case, I deal with a lot of lawyers and I'm stressing video that, you know, when somebody's has a legal matter, they're in crisis mode. So, you know, depending upon your service, if you're a crisis services, whether that's healthcare, whether you're a doctor or a lawyer, people want that connection. So if you can make a connection in video, do your computer say, I understand your situation. I can help you. These are my services. You know, call me now. That's so impactful and goes so much farther than 95% of the websites online.
Yep. And YouTube is the second largest search engine now. So get those videos out there if you're looking, you're trying to get those online customers and they're searching. There's right keywords out there. And the great video.
Yeah, I'm completely shocked that you brought up video.
Oh, you are? Yeah. Well, you know, when we meet in December, AK. So, Sterling, the inside joke here is, I love video. AK hates video. I love pictures. Especially, So, I try to sneak video and pictures of AK when she's not looking.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm totally on board with videos of other people and for businesses to promote it. And, you know, it's just not a, you know, me being the subject of the video that I'm a fan of.
But she's a great presenter. She should be, and I'm trying to convince her, she needs to capture some of her presentations, even little clips of it, and get it out there. See?
Sterling took a picture of me at my presentation last week, and then he tweeted it. I've been meaning to talk to you about that.
That was the best one, by the way. I took a
picture. And it was totally fine, because it was only like a profile, so you couldn't really see my face.
Exactly.
I was like, I just pretend that's somebody else.
It could have been anybody, right?
She tweeted it, so she approved.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
He admitted it with her.
On that same topic, I'll say, great thing about video is that it can be used in so many places. So on your website, it can be your mobile site, you can put it on Facebook, you can shout out on Twitter. So, you know, there's so many uses. So, you know, I would say with social too, a lot of my clients say, what am I going to talk about? And I say, we can take a lot of artwork you already have, your blog posts, your articles, related stories, and really repurpose that content. So it's not always new content. You know, a lot of times it's just taking bits of stuff and, you know, kind of, you know, sporadically pushing out to your user.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So, let's see. AK, do we have any other questions that we need to throw at Sterling? I wonder what his – I bet he's got some great tips that we haven't covered yet. Any tips and tricks that you need to let our audience know about?
Tricks and trips. Tips and tricks. mobile or social, I'm trying to think of a few. First, I guess I'll start out with social, actually. So, like I said before, one, getting to know your user base. You know, what are their likes, what are their wants, and really giving them that. On that same note, offering great, you know, engaging content that's dealing with things that they really want. On that same note, being on the right networks, like the caller who actually the chat room that asked a question, being on the right networks for your brand and, you know, doing a network that is message your brand. I think that goes a long way, choosing the right network to be on. I would say also with social is finding your online ambassadors, those people that are crazy about your product. There's people online now that, you know, I don't get it, but they're on Facebook crazy about Quiznos subs and other companies. So finding those lunatics, those really fanatic fans that are going to talk about you is really key because, you know, what happens in social is that, you know, I say it's kind of like a snowball effect. So you kind of start the conversation, and when you have brand ambassadors, they kind of carry the conversation for you. So it really takes off that way. And I would say, too, a lot of those ambassadors or really users also become customer service. So when somebody puts a question up, hey, how do I find this page or how do I do this? If I'm a brand ambassador, I'm going to say, hey, oh, yeah, this is a great company. Do this, and this. And, you know, it's done. So think about that, too, using social media as a customer service tool. It's a great way to do it. Give you a real-life scenario during the recently we had the storm on Sandy. And, you know, people who couldn't call in to the power company, so they got on Twitter and made posts about their outages. And the companies had people manning social networks, hey, know your power's down. We're sending crew out immediately. So customer service is really huge for social media.
I agree. Totally.
I like you guys.
Totally.
You agree very well. This is going
okay.
very well.
Very you speak our language.
Yeah, we're not always so agreeable.
Right, right. So I would say, too, for mobile, like I said, it's a walk. Not a walk, I'm sorry, crawl, walk, run approach. So don't get into mobile and say, oh, we want an app right away. One, apps are a lot of money. They need to be thought out. And if you're doing an app, you know, think about you're spending all that money. Is there going to be a return on investment? So really think about that. So first off, getting a mobile, have a good website. Have a nice website. Next, have a mobile website that's a scaled-down, dumb-friendly version of your website that has basic information, time, services, locations, directions, and phone number. Like I said, if that goes well, you can take some of that feedback, some of that momentum, and then you can move into getting an app for your company. But mobile is the future. I can't stress that enough to my clients. Like, you have to be there. It's no longer, you know, an option. And you know, I always tell a story of, you know, back when the telephones were coming out, you know, there were companies that didn't get it. So there were reps for AT&T. They would go around to store owners and say, hey, you should buy a phone from us. And, you know, there were store owners that said, why do I want a phone? People can walk down the street, you know, and find my store. We send the catalog out. And those companies that said no, they're gone. they perished. They're not around no more. But they were savvy business owners said, hey, this is a new thing. This is a new way people are going to contact us. We need to have a phone. And those are the companies that prosper. And, you know, fast forward, you know, 100 to 200 years or so, that's still true for companies today. The companies of the future that are going to survive and thrive are the companies that see the future, see the present, that mobile and social are not going anywhere. I do a presentation, actually, I'm doing one tomorrow night, where I say mobile is not a fad. You know, it's not Tickle Me Elmo. It's not MC Hammer. It's not a Pet Rock. It's not Justin Bieber. I make a prediction. Bieber will be gone in a few years. But anyway.
Unless you get a couple years older.
It's not a one-trick pony. It's not a fad. These things are here to stay. So, you know, if I could shout it from the mountaintop, I would. Mobile, social, customers, you have to do it. Okay, your customers are doing it. And give one more, you know, example that I'll talk about is Blockbuster and Netflix. I think this example fits a lot of companies really well. So, for years, you know, Blockbuster was the big guy on the block. They had the movies and everything. So, but as time went on, you know, it kind of changed. One, Blockbuster, if you went there and they didn't have the movie, you had to drive to a location. So it became, you know, really, really inconvenient. Secondly, Blockbuster, they were very non-customer friendly. If you returned the video late, you were paying a mortgage out. I think it was like $5 a day. I mean, there was a time we forgot about a tape that fell underneath the couch, and it ended up costing $30 for a movie. It was insane. And then one, you know, as technology changed, guess what? People didn't want to get in the car anymore and drive the Blockbuster. So fast forward to late 90s, early 2000s, here's Netflix. Netflix responded to what customers wanted. They said, hey, there's a thing I call the internet. People can sit on their couch, they can browse movies, and they can stream them instantly. And hey, we won't charge $5 per movie. We'll charge $10 a month for unlimited movies, unlimited streams. And if you order a DVD, there's no late fees. And, you know, Blockbuster sat back because they're the big established company, didn't do, you know, what the new guy was doing, didn't do what the customers wanted, and now they're in panic mode. They're perishing. So that's just a clear, you know, example of how, you know, a business owner, you have to take that leap and that step, you know, to really get into mobile and really get into social for it before it's too late.
Very good. I love all of those examples. I'm like, I could turn you into a whole blog post. I'm like, all these six foldable things. Like, I'm like, don't be Blockbuster. Okay.
Exactly. Don't be Blockbuster.
Don't be Blockbuster.
Hey, Kate's got another tweet.
I know. Oh, yeah, the tweets are flying. All right, well, thank you so much, Sterling. Can you tell everybody which accounts of yours that you would like them to follow online and how they can connect with you?
Now, I have a lot of accounts, and remember them all. Do you got the list of my accounts by any chance?
I do. So I can tweet them. So if you just want to say, like, the main ones so that people who are going to listen later can hear them, that would be cool. So, like, your main Twitter account maybe that you use and the website?
Yeah, would you mind going over those for me?
Oh, sure. Well, we have your @4_biz. So @APPSFOR _BIZ for Twitter. And then Facebook, you have here the Apps for Business is where you are on Facebook.
Correct.
And then website is appsthatconnect.com.
Right.
And then for your blog, sterlingmckinley.com.
Yeah, and in general, I mean, like I said, I do – everything I tell my clients, I do myself. So if you just Google my name, Sterling McKinley, you see my picture, you see videos, LinkedIn, Twitter, all my websites. I'm all over there. So the easiest way, type in my name in Google, Sterling McKinley, and you'll see all my digital profiles. And if you reach out, I'll get back to you. It's kind of my calling card. I'm really a responsive guy.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, and you're welcome to – hang out with us so as we move into Social Geek Radio, or you are free to go if you'd like, so whatever you'd like to do. But thank you again so much for being on the show, and go check out the tweet.
Great. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
You know what? I'm going to grab you for one more thing before you go. Did you tell us which commercial you'd like? The commercial one or commercial two?
They were both good. I would say commercial one.
Yeah? Okay. Very
can't tell you why, because it was so long ago, but I like the first one.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't the beginning of the show. Good. Okay. So, AK, should we play one of the commercials or Geek It Out, original Geek It Out songs? Or do we move right into Geek It Out?
I need to hear the song.
Okay, yes. We need to.
Our
right,
social
here you go.
Geek song.
There you go.
Feel that Wednesday night void.
Yeah, so we'll play that for the Geek It Out part, but then we'll have to decide on commercial one or two for the opening. So I am ready. What are we going to do?
Right. Well, the first one's kind of interesting. It's a hidden part of Facebook that I did not know about that I just found out about. I've been helping some clients do some paid Facebook advertising to sort of help bust through the wall that Facebook has put up for us in terms of reach of our posts and all that. But mm-hmm. in doing some research on sort of what is effective for Facebook ads, I came across a blog post that said that there is a section of Facebook where you can go and you can see a whole bunch of Facebook ads and sponsored stories that have been targeted to you. So when people are going in and paying for these ads and they're putting in interests and demographics and all of these things, and you see all those ads on the right-hand side, those are tailored to you. This page shows you all of those in one page. So you might not care about the ads that are targeted to you, but it's interesting to see sort of if it's working, if you would be interested in these things. But also, if you are going to do your own paid advertising, it's helpful to see sort of what these look like. So if you go to facebook.com/ads/ad board. So facebook.com/ads/ad board. And again, these will, everybody's going to be seeing different ads here.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see sort of what jumps out at you, which type of imagery sort of just gets you to maybe want to take action on it, the amount of text and all of that. So it's kind of fun to see what those are.
And why I would see games, because I do not play Facebook games. But that's what I see.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, I have one that says I love lizards. So I'm not really sure where that targeting came from either. Okay, so the next one is, this is just a fun one. It's for Facebook measurements of your Facebook page, and it's likealyzer.com, likealyzer, likealyzer.com.
Likealyzer.
It's very simple. But the nice thing about it is you can put in your own Facebook page and you can get some information about your page, which is, it's a little bit more simplistic than a lot of the other Facebook analytics we've looked at. But it gives you information on sort of like the percentage of the posts that you do that show images and the ones that show links. And it tells you actually which of those perform better. So the photos perform well on your page. Do you ask enough questions to solicit engagement? And are you successful when you're engaging? So it's really nice and simple. But another cool thing about it is you can actually see how your competition's doing because you don't have to sign in or anything. You're just putting in the URL of a Facebook page. Sort of stop the competition or, those of us who are consulting and helping people in the social media realm, you can take their Facebook page and plug it in here and then show them how poorly they're performing and how you need to help them.
Sort of like, Googlefied and the Dictomatic, really is geared towards Facebook. So that's a good, I'm going to have to hold on to that one. Should have had that yesterday, but that's okay.
That's cool. I'm sorry, I just found it today. the other one, let's see. Something that's easy to explain. Okay, this one's in beta, and it's kind of buggy, but I think it's going to be kind of neat. It's wahooly.com. Oh, in 90 seconds. Okay, but it's wahooly.com. So go to that and play with it and figure out what it is, but it's essentially startups can put their ideas on there, and then users can help share the message via the social channels, and by doing that as a user, you can actually work out some deals with the startups to receive some sort of royalties or something or other for your social interaction as you're helping them build their startup. But anyway, wahooly.com, and that's it for Social Geek Radio for tonight. We are all done. We're running out of time.
We're running out of time, so let's remind everybody there will not be a show next week, but we'll have a show after Thanksgiving. So everybody have a good Turkey Day.
Yep, and tell us on our Facebook page which one of our commercials you like, one or two.
Yep. I'm going to go ahead and play one as we close. So good night, AK.
Cool. Bye. Bye, everyone.
Bye, Sterling. Bye, everybody.
Are you looking to take your social technology strategies to the next level? Then do we have a show for you. Social Geek Radio co-hosts A.K. Stout and Deb Evans chat weekly with innovative technology.